Man, I tell you what, God has been doing some incredible things at Christ Church this weekend. It has been amazing. Last night, four people came down and were baptized. Last service, if you were coming in, we had a dozen people come forward after the service and get baptized right up here on this stage today. It has been exciting to watch what God is doing in people's hearts and watch them express it through baptism this weekend. It has been exciting. It's been phenomenal. And like I said, it's like rocket fuel for my soul. It's why I get up in the morning and do what I do. And so if I get going, you're just going to have to go with it today. It's 10:30 service. I got all afternoon, right? But you know what? We are going to be doing some baptisms a little later on. And you know, I just want to say a word about baptism real quick. You know, there's nothing special about the water. I mean, the water is just your ordinary tap water, chlorinated water right out of the St. John's River, okay? So don't let that keep you from being baptized in that fact. But let me just say this. There is nothing magical about that water. The water doesn't save you. Jesus Christ is who saves you. And this weekend, it has been so exciting just to watch people just come in here and just walk up here on this stage this week and say, you know what? I want that. I need that. Let's go. It has just been great. I'm looking forward because I think there's some people in here today that are ready to make that decision as well. But before we get to that, I want to kind of wrap up this entire series, this 30 Days to Live series, about talking about heroic decisions. Heroic decisions. Have you ever thought about the power of 18 inches? I mean, 18 inches can make all the difference in the world. I mean, just think if you were a golfer, all right? Think it's Sunday afternoon, you're at Augusta, it's the Masters Tournament, you're on the 18th green. Everything matters whether or not you hit that 18-inch putt in, right? I mean, all the money, all the fame, all the success, it all hinges on that 18-foot putt. It makes a difference. 18 inches makes a difference. My grandma, Mary Martha, and yes, her mom thought fit to name her Mary Martha, both of the sisters, because she liked to work and celebrate Jesus. So it was Mary Martha grew up in this little bitty town in Evansville, Indiana, I mean, the thriving metropolis. And all the years I knew her, she drove the exact same car. She drove an Olds 98. Now, here's the best way I can describe that to you. It was a barge with wheels, all right? And my little Bill grandma would sit there with her head looking over the steering wheel hardly, and she'd drive down the road, run her errands in that car. Now, the little house they lived in, they had this little garage in the back. It was a little one-car garage. True story. The car was so big, it didn't fit in the garage. And so what they would do is they'd put the garage door down about halfway, then my grandpa screwed some vinyl to the bottom of the garage, and they unroll it to cover up the rest of the car in the back. I mean, it was huge. Well, my grandpa decided it'd probably be a good idea to kind of put a visual aid in there so grandma, you know, knew when to stop. And so he had this big red floor jack that he used to have at the marathon station that he worked. And so he put this down just kind of as a visual aid to help her know when to stop. Well, the family legend goes like this, all right? Grandpa was working in the garage one day and he was using that floor jack and he decided to move it. He was using it for something. And then when he put it back about a foot and a half from where it originally was, 18 inches. 18 inches makes all the difference in the world, right? Well, grandma came home from running errands that day, going to the grocery store, doing whatever she was doing. And so she started to come into the garage, and she was looking for her visual aid, and she pulled all the way through the back of that garage, literally through the back. I mean, create a new back door, all right? 18 inches makes all the difference in the world. Let me talk to you about decisions you make. You know the difference between an okay decision and a heroic decision? The difference between a good decision and a heroic decision. The difference between a decision that's not going to matter in 3 years and a decision that's going to matter in 3,000 years is 18 inches. 18 inches. Some of you are going, but preacher, I'm not following you. Jason, what do you mean? I'm not tracking with you here. What do you mean? What's the big deal here about 18 inches? Let me tell you this. The difference between a good decision and a heroic decision is 18 inches. Because you see, that's the distance it takes for something to go from here to here. 18 inches it takes to go from your head to your heart. 18 inches makes all the difference in the world. And today I just want to tell you a story out of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there now. If you don't, grab a pew Bible. It's an incredible story, a story I think you're going to relate with. It's a story about a prison warden. And something incredible happens in the middle of the night. I mean, this guy, in a matter of just a couple minutes, he makes this heroic decision. In fact, he makes three of the greatest decisions of his life. And here's what I want to do with us here today. As we go through this story, as we cover this story about this prison warden, Now, I want you to just ask yourself, what's God been telling me the past 5 weeks? What heroic decision do I need to make? I mean, if I truly only had 30 days to live, what steps do I need to take in my life? What decision do I need to make today? What heroic decision do I need to move from here to here? Would you pray with me as we begin? Father God, we thank you. We thank you so much for this day. God, we thank you already for the celebration of new life and freedom that we've experienced here today. But God, I pray as we come in here in this hour right now, that God, that we would drop off our walls, that we'd take off our mask, God, and we'd just get real with you today. That God, we'd just be honest and say, there are some stuff in our life, there's some things in our life that we need to get rid of. And God, there's some decisions we need to make today. So God, I pray that your spirit would give us a spirit of courage. That God, we'd have a spirit of courage today to act on these decisions, God, that you are challenging us to make. Father, we love you. God, you have made all this possible through your son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, the catalyst for this incredible life-changing decision that this guy makes in this story is an earthquake. It's an earthquake. In fact, the story goes, it says, it was about midnight in this jail, and the jailer was there, and it was just an average, run-of-the-mill, normal night in the jail. Now, I don't think any other night in jail would be much different. I think they'd all be pretty boring, pretty quiet. But there was one thing that was different on this night. You see, earlier that day, this warden had picked up two guys, a guy by the name of Paul and a guy by the name of Silas. And he didn't just pick them up. No, he pretty much captured them, he stripped them in public, and then beat them with a rod and threw them in prison. And so the only thing that night that was a little different was around midnight, when everything else was quiet in this jail, these two guys, Paul and Silas, were saying prayers and singing songs out loud. I mean, beyond that, that's the only thing that was really different on this night. And the Bible says it was about midnight, and I can imagine the prison warden's kind of just kicking back, the feet are up, he's kind of dozing in and out, thinking, you know what, I get a couple hours of shut-eye before the morning comes around. And Paul and Silas at this time, they're in prison, they're over there chained to a wall, and they're singing songs, and they're praying prayers. And then listen to what happens in verse 26. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in an earthquake before, but I tell you what, it is really, really unsettling. In fact, my very first experience with an earthquake happened just a couple months ago. We were with our team in Haiti over spring break, and we were all sitting there doing a Bible study. And we're sitting there talking about God's power and God's ability to change, and all of a sudden, we felt this trembling in the earth, and we saw the light start to shake, and all of a sudden, everybody's making heroic decisions in that moment, all right? I mean, it was unsettling. But Scripture says here that this earthquake hits this jail, and it's such a tremendous force that it rattles the foundations. That all their prison cells, the doors fly open, the chains fall off these guys, and this prison warden, he's in a panic. And he's in a panic, and listen to what it says in verse 27. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. Now, why is this guy so desperate here? Why is he so suicidal? Well, not only had he been given strict orders to guard these prisoners and not let them out, but now he believes that there's been this prison break. And if there's been a prison break, he is going to be executed. But also think about this. Earlier that day, this prison was filled with people that this warden brought in, publicly humiliated, stripped naked in the streets, and beat. Can you think of anybody in that prison who'd want to get a little revenge on this guy? You know, there's some people here carrying a grudge saying, you know what, I'd like a little payback. So I think this prison warden here, in his mind, he's thinking, you know what? If my superiors don't kill me, the prisoners are going to do it. So he gets his sword, and he's ready at that moment to end it all. And I can just see this picture of this guy with his sword pressed against his heart, right there ready to go. And I think in that moment, he's sitting there thinking, I wish I can go back and undo my past. I wish there were some things I can undo, some things I could do a little differently. I wish I hadn't done certain things. But he had. And there in that moment, he's got his sword drawn. He's about to press it through his skin. And in a millisecond before he does it, Paul yells out. He says, don't harm yourself. Don't do it. We are all here. Put your sword away. There's a better way. You don't need to do that. We are all here. Now, I don't think this warden expected to hear those words. We are all here. Maybe he expected to hear something like, maybe I would utter, if I was picked up on a trumped up charge, I was stripped naked in public and then beaten and then thrown in jail. I might say something like, go ahead and make my day, guy. But listen to what happens next in verse 29. The jailer called for the lights. He rushed in and he fell trembling before Paul and Silas. You catch that word there? He fell trembling before Paul and Silas. You know, here just a couple minutes earlier, the earth was trembling. And now here's this prison warden falling on his knees before Paul and Silas, and now he is the one who is trembling. I mean, I think it's in this moment right here, in this moment of brokenness, in this moment of humility, where this prison warden makes the first heroic decision of his life. He simply says, you know what? Things aren't working out my way. Things aren't working out on my terms. They're not happening the way I thought they were going to happen. And he begins to move what he knows right here, 18 inches south right here. And he humbly comes before Paul and Silas and said, it's not working out my way. And then he asked these guys the most important question in life. He asked these two guys, what must I do to be saved? Is there a more important question in life? If you knew you only had 30 days to life to live, isn't that the most important question that you'd want answered? And so here these guys are. This guy in front of them, things aren't working out. And I guarantee you there are people in this room right now who relate with this prison warden. Because you're going right now, Jason, things aren't working out on my terms. Things aren't working out how I thought they would. In fact, the reason I came to this series is I was hoping to get a little direction. I was hoping to evaluate my life. And like this prison warden, I'm feeling right now like I'd like to undo some things in my life. I'd like to have a do-over, one or two. That I'd like to undo some mistakes I made, undo some failures in my life at work or at home or at school or in my relationships, in my friendships, my family, in my marriage. Or maybe the thing you want to undo in your life happened just 24 hours ago. And you're walking through life like a lot of the rest of us. You're carrying so much regret. You're carrying a ton of regrets with you. I don't know how it's happened in my neighborhood, but somehow I've become the handyman. And that's kind of scary, to be really, really, really honest with you. I can fix a couple things, but for some reason, everybody comes to my house and knocks on the door when something's going on. I think it's because I have all these tools that people have given me in my garage. They think I know how to use them, all right? So anytime something happens, someone comes and knocks on my door. Well, I was sitting in the house one day, and there was a knock on the door, and went to answer the door. It was my next-door neighbor. And he kind of just casually said, hey, you know, I got a little leak next door. Would you mind coming looking at it? And so I'm thinking, all right, no big deal. He doesn't seem panicked. It must not be that big of a deal. I'll come look at it and come back and grab some tools. No big deal. And so we're walking across the yard. We're kind of talking about things and going towards his front door. And then I heard screaming from the house. And I'm going, hey, what's going on? And so he walked in and he opened the front door and water started coming out of the front door. I mean, a little leak. I run into the kitchen. I look around the corner. It's like Niagara Falls is coming out from underneath the sink. And I look around. The kids are kind of canoeing through the living room, all right? You know, they're having a good old time. And, you know, and his wife has got all the towels in the house, every blanket in the house, kind of creating a dam to kind of keep things away from the living room. And so I run out in the front yard, and I turn off the master water little knob, and I run into the garage, and I grab a bunch of wrenches and a big stack of towels. And I run back over there, and I say, here's some towels. Start cleaning this up. And I get underneath the sink, and I'm starting to wrench down there, trying to figure things out and see what happened here. And as we're sitting there doing this, we're kind of having a conversation going on. And so we're talking, things are going well, and I'm kind of working on this thing. And you ever been in a conversation where things got quiet and you didn't really know why, but you felt like there's this kind of this awkward moment? Well, we're sitting here working and things got quiet. And so I'm underneath the sink, and I kind of look out and I turn around, look at my neighbor, and there he is holding one of the towels I brought over. And on it, it says, Holiday Inn. Not one of my prouder moments in life. And at that moment, I'm going, oh my goodness, why did I bring that towel over? You know, I've been carrying that one for years, trying to get rid of it. It reminds me of a friend of mine out west who said he did a baptism. He got out of the baptistry, reached over for one of the towels, and he pulled it out, and it said Holiday Inn on it. And he started thinking, he goes, how did this end up at church? I mean, how did this Holiday Inn church end up here in the baptistry? And so we were joking, we were talking, well, someone probably took it from Holiday Inn. They thought, well, ooh, cool, I got a towel. And then they went home and they washed it and they were doing their laundry, folding it. And all of a sudden the guilt hit, right? And all of a sudden they started to get a little regret about doing this. And they were folding the towel going, how can we get rid of this towel? How can we get rid of the evidence here, you know? And they're thinking, you know, we can have a yard sale. You know, we can get rid of that. Well, no, people are going to know they bought it from us and we took it. We can take it to Goodwill. Well, no, we got to sign a little piece of paper to have our name attached to that towel, you know. And give it to the kids. They can take it to school, donate it. Well, no, then all the teachers know we stole stuff from Holiday Inn. But some reason, somehow, someone thought the best place to get rid of this towel was to take it and sneak it in with the towels in the baptistry. I mean, aren't we like that sometimes? I mean, we carry with us these regrets. I mean, we do. We carry these regrets in life, things that we wish we could have and we can undo, things that we wish we can give to somebody else. But the Bible says that we all have them, that we all sin, that we all fall short, that life on our terms, it's not working for any of us. For any of us. In fact, the Bible clearly says in Romans, says this, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And it goes on to say that no one is righteous. Nobody, not even one single person, is righteous. You know, and it just left me wondering. It left me wondering what it's going to take for some of you to move what you know here to right here. I mean, what's it going to take? What's it going to take for you to admit that life isn't working out on your terms? I mean, what is it going to take for you? Is it going to take an earthquake? I mean, are you going to wait until there's a tragedy that hits your life? Are you going to wait till you're diagnosed with some disease that you have to finally come to grips with your mortality? Are you going to wait till your family and your marriage falls apart? I mean, are you going to wait until you kill someone when you're driving underneath the influence of alcohol? I mean, are you going to have to wait until you've destroyed all the meaningful relationships in your life? Are you going to wait until you're financially busted or relationally busted or physically busted? But here's the truth. Some of you are saying, yeah, it's going to take that. It's going to take an earthquake. And let me just say this, my heart breaks. My heart breaks for you. But know this, just like he was for that prison warden, God will be there when your earthquake hits. God will be there for you. And this prison warden, man, he made the most heroic decision of his life. He said, it's not working on my terms. And then he asked the most important question. He said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul and Silas's answer, it was simple, it was short, yet it was profound. Listen to what they told him. A couple words. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus. So what does it mean to believe? Because the fact of the matter is, you can intellectually believe right here that Jesus is God's son and that he died on the cross, but that won't save you. I mean, the Bible says that even the demons believe that, and they shudder and they tremble. I mean, that's not what Paul and Silas were talking about here when they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. What they were talking about is taking what you know right here, what you believe right here, and moving it 18 inches to your heart to where it's a personal conviction for you in your soul. That's what they meant. And that's when God can save you. And so many people are telling me right now, man, God is doing some neat things at Christ Church, Jason. And I agree. God is moving in some just incredible ways. I mean, it's so exciting to watch what happens around here on Wednesday nights, on the weekends. It's so exciting to get the reports for our campus across the river. I mean, the campus we started up in Camden a couple years ago, they broke ground on a new building. They had 700 people. They started with six. And they had 700 people a couple weeks ago when they launched their new facility. I mean, God is doing great things at our school. God is doing some amazing things. The people are going, God is doing some great things. There's this sense of revival around here. And I agree. I mean, there, I tell you what, it is supernatural. It's extraordinary what God is doing, but I have a nagging concern. A nagging concern that sometimes just won't let me rest. And here's what my concern is. There's this jump on the bandwagon mentality. There's this you know, join the mob mentality type of mentality. And it scares me because some people say, I love Christ Church. I love Christ Church because I get relevant messages on the weekend that I apply to my life every single week. And that is great. And some people say, I love Christ Church because there's a lot of cute guys there, you know? There are a lot of cute girls, and that's okay too. And some people say, I love Christ Church because of the children's program and the youth ministry. I mean, that's wonderful. I mean, what parent and grandparent wouldn't want that? And some people say, you know what? I love Christchurch because all my friends go there. I mean, all my family goes there. It's just like a magnet drawing people. And all that stuff is good. All that stuff is good. But my nagging concern is this. And I'm afraid that some of you might get lured into thinking that you're in Christ when you're only near Christ. You're in Christ when you're only near Christ. You see, to be attracted to Jesus is different than being attached to Jesus. To be with the masses is different than being connected to the Master. There's a big difference there. A big difference. I was talking to a guy in the church who's a businessman, a very successful guy. Went through college, multiple degrees, very successful in life. And we were sitting down talking one day about the most important decision in life. And he said, Jason, I just don't understand. I mean, I've gone to church almost all of my life. I mean, I can quote you some scriptures. I mean, I know some prayers. I mean, I know the order of service. I know all these things. But no one in all my time at church ever told me I need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, no one's ever told me that. I tell you what, there are a lot of people in the room probably have had that same experience. That was my experience. I mean, I've told you before, I grew up in church. I spent hours at church every single week with my grandparents. I did every job you can think of. But for 16 years, no one ever told me that I need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what it's all about. Listen to Paul's words in Romans. He says this about this decision. He simply says this, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you believe in your heart, you will be saved. And it's like this guy that I was talking to discovered, it's like I discovered, you got to move what you know right here, 18 inches to right here. And that 18 inches is all the difference in the world in just believing that Jesus is the Son of God and making him your Savior. It's all the difference in the world. It's the difference between heaven and hell. And that 18 inches may not seem like a big deal, but when it comes to being connected to our Creator and our Master, God, church, it's the whole ballgame. It is what it's all about. I mean, to believe in your heart, to totally trust that Jesus, the sinless sacrifice for us, died on the cross for you, paid something that you couldn't pay, a price you couldn't afford. And he takes your sins, he takes the messes in your life, and he takes them and he pins them to the cross. And we say, I trust Jesus. I trust him. And I tell you what, this warden made the second most important decision of his life when he simply said, I am going to trust in the sinless one to carry my sins for me because I can't carry them anymore. These regrets are starting to weigh on me. I want to be clean. I want to be free. I want to be whole. I want to be saved. And my fear for some of you in this room, you tell me, Jason, I've come to church. I come to church all the time. I mean, I grew up in a house that we prayed. I mean, I even got wet at some point in my life. And you think by doing all those things that you're saved. But you just need to know, unless you move what you know right here, 18 inches south right here, and it's become a personal conviction for you, and you can go to all the church services in the world. You can say all the prayers in the world. You can get wet all the times in the world. But unless you move it from here to here, you're not changed. You're not changed. You got to heroically take that knowledge, what you know, and move it 18 inches from your head to your heart. And that's exactly what this prison warden does. I mean, he heroically places his trust in Jesus and says in the text after he's done that, he was filled with joy. Oh, man. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. He and his whole family. Man, there was this transformation going on in this guy's life. And it was sincere, it was authentic, it was real. And it led him to this third heroic decision of his life. And here it is, look what happens in verse 33. It says this, at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Now, who was it that gave these guys their wounds? It was the jailer. But now, what is he doing? He's washing their wounds. He is fixing their problem. He is bandaging them up. I mean, the same prison warden that a couple hours before stripped them and beat them and chained them to a wall has now taken care of them. You see, I believe that led to his third decision, which simply is this. He is moving in a new direction in life. I mean, his heroic decision is he is moving in a new direction in life. And when a person genuinely gives their heart to Jesus Christ and begins to ask God to come in, what happens is things are not business as usual. What they used to do, they no longer do. They're moving in a new direction. They've taken an about face. And the Bible's got a word for that. It's called repentance. It's called repentance. You know, if we never did anything wrong, we wouldn't need Jesus, would we? I mean, if we never did anything wrong, we wouldn't need Jesus. We wouldn't need his amazing grace. Reminds me about a lady who went and signed up for an aerobics class. And as she was signing up, the instructor said, you know what? Tomorrow when you come to class, make sure you wear some loose-fitting clothing. She looked at him and said, honey, if I had loose-fitting clothing, I wouldn't need this class. You know? Same is true in our lives, guys. Same is true. If we didn't do anything wrong, we wouldn't need Jesus. We wouldn't need his amazing grace. But when we heroically move what we know here to here, it's not business as usual. We can't go along doing the same things we did before. It changes us. It changes us. I mean, true repentance says, I once beat prisoners, now I'm taking care of their wounds. True repentance says, you know what? I once did business with deception, now I do it with integrity. True repentance says, I once used to not care about my marriage vows, but now, till death do us part. True repentance says, I used to cheat on my homework and cheat at school, now I do my own work. True repentance says, when I move things from here to here, I act differently. I'm a different person. Well, look what happens next in our story here. Verse 33 continues. It says this, immediately, and that's a key word here, immediately he and all his family were baptized. Think about this. What time was it? What time? Midnight. It's the middle of the night. I mean, notice it didn't say whenever it was convenient, whenever they get around to it, whenever everyone gets in town, or whenever they finish 8 weeks of baptism classes, they finally went and were baptized. No, it says immediately, that very night, they were baptized. They heroically made a decision that life wasn't working on their terms. They placed their trust in Jesus. And then through this incredible moment of baptism, they took on Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And they did it immediately, right there in the middle of the night. You talk about a heroic decision, and that's heroic. And I can just imagine right now some of you in here going, I don't know if I need to do that, Jason. I sense God telling me to do a couple things in my life. He's been working on me for the past 5 weeks, and I wonder if that's what he's telling me to do. I mean, if I only have 30 days to live, I mean, do I need to take some steps towards this? Do I need to do that? Do I need to join some of the people who were baptized last hour, some people who are already sitting down here are going to be baptized in a few minutes? And some of you in this room are going, do I need to join them to do that? Because you know what? Truth is, some of you are probably going, this is a little weird, you know? It's kind of got your little weirdo meter kind of pegging off a little bit. So you're asking, Jason, do I need to do this? Do I need to be considering making this decision today? Do I need to be considering taking these steps? Well, let's ask a couple questions and see if this is something you need to do. And the first question we simply need to ask is simply do this. Why be baptized? Why do it? Why be baptized? And I can give you a ton of answers. I can give you a lot of answers for this, but there is only one answer that I think we really ought to need. And it's simply this. The one, the leader, the forgiver, your Savior, the one who died on the cross, took your spot, he asked us to do it. He asked us to do it. What else do we need? There shouldn't be another reason we need. Listen to what happened when Jesus, he died and resurrected. He came back to his followers and he said, when you go, this is the first thing you ought to be doing. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey the commands that I have given you. His command was, go, teach them. Teach them about this. You know, here at Christ Church, we've got some pretty serious sports fans. I mean, in fact, I'd put a couple of you guys in this room right now on the lunatic fringe of sports fans, all right? I mean, I've talked to a couple of you Gators and Bulldogs and Seminoles and Jag fans, and some of you guys, you're rabid. I'm just being real this morning, all right? I mean, you're just over the top. I mean, but could you imagine if I talked to a Gator fan or a Bulldog fan or a Seminole fan, or I talked to a Jag fan, and they say, you know what? I love my team. I mean, I am my team's number one fan. I support my team. I go to every single game. I've got season tickets. I sit on the third row. But I don't own a hat. I don't stand and cheer. I don't clap. I don't have a sweatshirt. I don't have any memorabilia of my team because my support for my team, well, it's a private thing. You know, my support for my team, it's a personal thing. I mean, that's crazy, isn't it? I mean, that's absolutely crazy. But people come to me all the time and say, Jason, I love God. I mean, I support God. I mean, I'm his number one fan. I mean, I go to church all the time. I've got season tickets at Christ Church. I sit in the third row every single week. But make a public confession? Be baptized? I mean, go into that water and come up out of that water with wet hair and look like a drowned rat? No. I could never do that. I mean, my faith, it's a personal thing. I mean, my love for Jesus, it's a private thing. Let me just say this. The Bible says if you are physically able, you should categorically be baptized. You should. Why? Because your leader, your Savior, the one who died in your place on the cross, asked you to do it. What other reason do you need? And this baptism isn't that some newfangled thing that we came up with. I mean, Jesus did. He demonstrated over 2,000 years ago. And ever since then, his followers have been doing it. You read through the book of Acts, there are 9 different conversion stories there. 9 different stories. And every one of those conversion stories begins with someone humbly going, you know what? Things aren't working out my way. I need to trust Jesus. They give their life to Jesus. And they all end the same way with them going, you know what? I need to be baptized. Why not do it right now? Immediately. That's how they end. Every single one of them. So why do it? Because your leader, your Savior, your master, your forgiver, the one who took your place on the cross, he asked you to do it. I don't think we should need another reason than that. Here's a second thing maybe you've been thinking about, another question maybe that's kind of bouncing through your head a little bit. It's simply this: when am I ready to be baptized? Jason, when am I ready? I mean, I was baptized as a little kid. Do I need to do it again? I mean, I just came to Jesus a couple, months ago, a couple weeks ago. I mean, how much do I have to know? How much do I have to learn before I do this? I mean, what do I got to do? When do I need to be baptized? How do I go about doing that? Well, it's very simple. Look what it says here in Acts 8:13. It says this: Simon himself believed and was baptized. Pretty simple. Simon believed and was baptized. The first thing he did, the first thing the jailer did, the prison warden did, is they believed and then they were baptized. They took what they knew right here, they moved it right here, and began to live another life. Life, a life for Christ, a heroic decision. Now, that's also some of the reason around here that we don't baptize little children. It's the reason why we don't baptize infants around here. You know, we do dedication services. But we believe, as Scripture says, that baptism is a personal decision. When you move what you know right here, 18 inches south, right here, and you have a deep conviction in your soul, in your heart, that you've been saved, you've been set free, and your sin is forgiven. And maybe your parents took you and you were dedicated, or maybe you were christened as a kid, and that's a good thing. That's what happened to me. And your parents had all the right intentions. They wanted you to be a Christ follower. But as you start reading scriptures, you start understanding, you're seeing that it's a personal decision that you need to make to move what you know here to here. And so don't look at it, if that's a decision you want to make, don't look at it as taking what your parents did and throwing it out the window. No, not at all. Actually, it's taking what they did and putting an exclamation point on it. Say, yes, I agree with what they wanted for my life, and now I'm going to make that decision myself. So call them up and say, thank you, Mom and Dad. Thank you for starting me out in life that way. Or maybe for you, maybe you came to Jesus at a camp one time or a church sometime or some other club sometime and you know Jesus, but no one has ever told you you should be baptized. So what's our coaching to you? What would we say to you? Well, we'd simply say this: once you know, do it. I mean, if your decision was 5 minutes ago, 5 weeks ago, 5 months ago, 5 years ago, once you know, once you hear, go ahead and do it. Take the plunge. One last question maybe you're thinking about, and that question is simply this: how do we be baptized? How do we go about doing it? Because you know, around a lot of Christian circles, there are lots of different ways that people do this. I mean, you've probably heard, maybe like me, some of you were sprinkled. Or maybe you had someone pour water over you. Or some churches they do is they make the sign of the cross on your forehead. Or churches like Christ Church, we actually immerse you completely underwater. In some other churches, they immerse you 3 times. One for God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But here at Christ Church, what we practice is this: we take you and we immerse you and hold you underwater. We just want to make sure it takes, and we want to see how long you hold your breath. I mean, it's kind of what we want to do. Just kidding. That's not why we do it. We do it because the Bible clearly says this is something that we should do, and this is how we should do it. I mean, it's a great example. I mean, I think it's the only clear picture of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection that we have in Scripture. And it's what Jesus did. Listen to the Scripture. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. I mean, notice those last words there. He went up out of the water. You can't do that in a cup. You can't. And so that was the practice. You walk down to the water, you're baptized, you come up out of the water. Jesus walked down to the Jordan River, said, John baptized. He said, no, I shouldn't. No, he says, I need you to. He baptizes him, then he comes up out of the water. I mean, that is the pattern. That is what happens all the way through Scripture. People are immersed. And I know some of you big guys in this room, you're 6'4", 6'6", 285 pounds. I mean, you can bench press a small vehicle, you know. I mean, you're ripped. You got big muscles, 2% body fat. You're thinking, Jason, you're a little too puny to baptize me. You know, you're a little too small. Let me just tell you this. I've been baptizing people for 20 years. I've only lost 3 people, all right? I haven't lost anybody. Let me tell you what, water is the great equalizer. We all pretty much weigh the same in water. Man, I can take you, drop you down, and pull you right back up. And I'm just wondering today. Man, I'm wondering today what God has been saying to you. I'm wondering today if you're sitting here thinking right now, I think I need to do this. I think I need to take this heroic step. I think I need to make this decision in my life, but I just don't think I can do it today. Why not? He said, well, you know what? I didn't bring any clothes with me. My clothes will get wet. So every time you walk out in the rain, your clothes get wet. It'll dry. And somebody said, well, I just couldn't do it today because I didn't bring any towels with me. Let me tell you, we've got plenty of towels. I stayed at the Holiday Inn all week long. We are good to go, all right? Good to go. And some of you are thinking right now, you're saying, you know what, but you know, I don't have the right clothes on. I don't have the right shirt. You know what? We've got shirts, black shirts like this for every single person. Take care of that problem. Some of you are going, but you know what? I might get my car wet. Really? I mean, really? It'll dry. That's just a car. But it's eternity for you. It's eternity. So what heroic decision is God leading you towards today? What steps do you need to take today that are going to change your forever? Would you stand with me? I'm going to kind of tell you what's going to happen the rest of our service. Here in just a moment, I'm going to say a prayer, and then we're going to go into just a great time of worship. And as we're going in this time of worship, as we are singing these songs to God, I want you to ask the question to God, God, what heroic decision do I need to make today? What decision are you laying in my heart? And I want you, as you're singing these songs, I want you to ask that question. I promise you, He will let you know. He will let you know. And as we finish the worship, we're going to move into a time of communion. Communion means you and God together. And we're going to thank God for the most heroic decision ever made, sending Jesus to the cross for us. And as you're thanking God for that heroic decision, I pray that you'll take the card out that is in your bulletin, and you'll start looking at that. You'll start writing down what heroic decision you need to make, or what is it in your life you need to leave behind at the cross today. What regret do you need to forget about? As we finish that communion time, then we'll move into a time where we talk about heroically making sacrifices with our finances. And we're going to once again ask you, as we do every week, to join us in extending the ministry of Christ Church, not just here at 6045, but all around the city and all around the world. And after that, we're going to sing one song, and then I'm going to come up in the service. And I'm going to ask you to take what you know right here. I'm going to ask you to move it 18 inches right here. And then to do something about it. What is God telling you today that you need to do? What's the heroic decision that's before you today? Father God, we come to you right now, and we humbly just want to say thank you. God, we thank you for the moments in our life, the earthquakes in our life, God, where you get our attention. God, and it's my prayer in this room today that it won't take that for all of us, but that God, today we can simply just be honest and humble and say, God, things aren't working my way. Things aren't working on my terms. God, I need to put my trust in you. God, your way is the right way. Your way leads to freedom. Your way leads to a life of no regrets. And so, God, I pray today in this moment, as we move the next few minutes, that God, that we would be transparent, that we'd be honest with you. and that God, your spirit would rest on each of us and challenge us to make the most heroic decision that we can possibly make. And God, we thank you. We thank you that you made all of this possible through the amazing work of your son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his beautiful and incredible and amazing name we pray. Amen. If you would, just have a seat. Just a moment. And I want you to take out this card that we've put in every one of your bulletins this weekend. And I pray over the last couple of minutes you've had some time. And if you haven't yet, you can continue writing what God has laid on your heart today. You know, as I sat up here all weekend looking at this headstone, I couldn't help but thinking, you know, what do you want on your headstone? What do you want to say when you finish your life? My hope would be that it would say, he lived with no regrets. No regrets. And that's our prayer for you today, that you would heroically make a decision today to begin living the rest of your life with no regrets. No regrets. And so we want to give you an opportunity to respond today, to do something to what God has been putting on your heart for the last 5 weeks, what he has laid on your heart today, what he has taken from your head and moved to your heart. Maybe you're here today and you just need some prayer. You're going, I'm having a tough stretch, a tough time in life. I'm dealing with this in my marriage. I'm dealing with this at work, or this at school's going on, or my family is falling apart. And you just need someone to encourage you, someone to pray with you, someone to just lift you up. Our elders are going to be down front here in just a moment. And they want to pray with you. They want to encourage you. They want to lift you up and let you know that you are not alone. And that we can go to our Savior, to our Father, and we can ask him, and he will respond. Or maybe some of you here right now, and you're reading the back of this card that says, I'm leaving this behind. And you're going, man, there's so much in my life that I wish I could undo. There's so many decisions that I've made, some things that I wish I can go back and change. And I'm carrying these burdens, I'm carrying these regrets with me everywhere I go. And maybe for you here today, all you simply need to do is write that on the back of this card, bring it over here and drop it at the foot of the cross or attach it to the cross. That you can leave today knowing that you have given that burden, that thing that you're carrying with you, you can leave it with Jesus and he will take it from you. He will take it from you. He will carry it because he loves you that much. And maybe for some of you today, you're thinking, you know what? I've been putting it off long enough. I've been putting off this decision to be baptized long enough. I've been waiting for the perfect time, the perfect moment. Well, guess what? Today is that moment. Today is that time. You don't have to worry about clothes or towels or anything. We've got it all here for you. See, here's the truth, church. I look at this headstone and my heart breaks for our world. Because so many people in our world believe that that's all there is. That there's a day you're born, and then a day that you die. And then it's all over. And if you remember, as we began this series, we talked about the first week, living the dash, the time between your time of birth and your time of death. And we said the decisions you make in that time will determine your eternity, your future. I mean, so much of our world believes that life is just kind of like this. That we just kind of are sands in the hourglass, and when it finishes, life is over. The date is done. But that's not what we believe. That's not what we know. Because you see, we know that life isn't over. The world may believe that life ends on that second date, but we know because Jesus Christ died on the cross that he took this and he busted it up. He said, you can live forever. You can live forever. Your days will never run out. Never. Because you'll be with me forever in heaven. Forever. Do you understand that word? Forever. What are you waiting for? Today is the day. Today is the day to make that heroic decision to say, God, I am going to take what I know here and I am going to move it here. Don't walk out of here today. Don't leave this place without making a decision. Come down, get some prayer. Take what's bothering you and burden in you and leave it at the foot of the cross. And maybe today is your day to say, I want to be baptized. Well, it's a good day for that today, because we can do that today. We can make that happen here today. We can bring you right up here today. And just like people who've already done that today, we can climb into this pool and we can make a decision that will alter your eternity, that will alter your forever. You can be free. You hear that? You can be free. No more bondage. Nothing else in your life holding you back. You can live forever. So how about it? What heroic decision do you need to make today? Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for this day. God, we just thank you for this little slice of heaven here today, a chance just to worship you and thank you for who you are. We thank you, God, that we are promised eternity. That, God, our day doesn't end. Our life doesn't end when we assume room temperature. God, our life goes on forever with you. God, and we love you. We thank you for that promise. And God, we place our trust and our hope in your son, Jesus Christ. And God, we thank you for them. And God, my prayer right now is for those in this room who are thinking, I can't do that. They are thinking of every reason why they shouldn't. God, would you place in their mind the one reason they should? And that's because of eternity. God, we love you. Help us make these decisions today. God, help us to move what we know in our head 18 inches south to our heart and make the most heroic decisions we possibly can. Let's not waste another day. Let's not waste another hour. Let's not waste another minute. Let us make this decision now. We love you, God. Thank you for Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Church, we're done. Three decisions for you today. If you want to be baptized with some of those who are already here today to do that, then come on up. If you need prayer, come on up. You can drop off your burdens over here. Thank you. Thank you for being here today. God bless you. Have a good week.